very important lesson, starting with verse 24, and I'll read through the end of that chapter. Seventh chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And we went through this some last Sunday about this foundation and how important it is. It is vital for a spiritual house. I wouldn't want to get all the way to the end of this journey and find out I hadn't built right. Because really, if you live to be 100 in this life, it is just a drop in the ocean to eternity. Now, there was a missionary, Elliot. What was his first name? Jim Elliot. And he said this. He died. The Indians, those cannibals, destroyed his life. But he left this saying behind. He said, I don't mind giving up those things I cannot keep to obtain those things I cannot lose. Did you understand what I said? There's a scripture that goes along with that. It says, he that would find his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He said, well, that don't make any sense. It does if you're a Christian. You know what that means. Amen. To be a Christian, you've got to give up your life. You don't just hire God on as a groundskeeper just to keep the yard mowed, and you keep running the show. No, you give your life to Him. What does it mean to give your life to Him? Well, it means that you're going to live for Him. Whatever you do, the Bible said, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. If what you do you can't do for the glory of God, then it's not worth doing, is it? He said, do everything you do to the glory of God. And so, this scripture talks about rock, building on the rock. How do you do that, preacher? Well, you hear the words of the Lord and do what He says. And that's building on the rock. Now here, we went through this. It said the rains descended. We talked about the sufferings of life. You know, life hands us some bad medicine sometimes. So we've got to get through it. How are we going to get through it? When the rain descends, the floods come up, the winds blow and beat upon the house. How many knows this morning that does happen? Well, here's what really matters. I remember years ago preaching on the greatest fall of all. The greatest fall of all is to fall, amen, into eternity without God. But he said, those that hear my sayings and do them, I liken him unto a wise man. But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. You know, we're living in an age where men and women, I'm telling you, there's so many deceivers in this world. And even the Bible, you used to go in a motel, there'd be a Gideon Bible there, and it'd be an authorized King James Version. But now even the Gideons don't use the King James Version. I like a pure translation. I like the translation that gets it like it is. You know, in this last day, men they've got so wicked, and they get so they don't want to do what God said, they just change the rules. You ever play a game with anybody, it's always changing the rules? It ain't no fun, is it? You don't really know who the winner is. That's the way this relative absolutism, they call it. Big old words. It means ever how it relates. If you want it to mean this, then it means that. If you don't, then it don't. Does that make any sense? No, not a bit in the world. But if you go with the gospel as modern religious world, you ain't going to know who's saved or not, and then you're not going to know if you're saved or not. My little girl, I wouldn't say it to embarrass her. She's a real frazzled, sensitive little girl. Sister Jennifer, the other day, she asked me, I may have mentioned it before, but she asked me, "Hi." She said, "Daddy, the devil's telling me that I ain't even saved." And I how many has he told that to? Huh? Now, he probably, if he ain't telling you that, he probably ain't. Or he'd be telling you. But I had this old Bible here. If I told you this, I had this Bible laying on the dashboard. And boy, it made me so mad, Sister Loretta, when I knew the devil had been hounding my little girl. And I've been there myself, and you have too. I just grabbed this book down. I turned over to Romans chapter 10, and I pointed to the scripture right there, and I said, right here it says, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I said, "Honey, you need to get that devil by the back of the head and push his nose right down in that scripture and make him read it." Boy, her Sister Mary, her face lit up. I mean, that smile's worth $100. She said, "Daddy, can I mark this till I can get home and write this down?" She was needing something to tell the devil. How many knows we can take this book right here? How do you know you're saved? And then he said, you know, we got to be doers. Now, it's not just a hearer that's justified, James said. How many knows you got to live right? You say, "Brother, you all not have to preach this. We all know that. I don't know if we do or not." How many know we got to live right for the Bible to have the power and effect to do it? We got to live right. If we don't live what the Bible says, then none of it has any effect on us. The promises are not ours. Every promise in the book are conditional. You hear me? Conditional. If my people will, then I will. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. If, I remember taking a computer course, Brother Josh, back when it was Fortran and COBOL. You ever hear them terms? I haven't heard them in years. I don't know nothing about Bill Gates and Microsoft and all that. I don't know much about the other, but we used to have to do programs in that language, basic. And you had those if-then stuff. If, you know, you had the if and the then, and you come down and this, then you go over here and this. That's the way the blessings of the Lord are. If you'll do this, I'll do this. Amen. It's a conditional blessing. You say, "But I can't work out my salvation." Well, the Bible said to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Abraham's works is what justified him. What do you mean? God said, "Come out," and what did Abraham do? Are y'all there? He said, "Come out," and you know why God counted him righteous? Because he obeyed him. He came out. We've got, if God says it, we better do it. Amen. If not, you know, and I'm talking about basically what this is talking about is the plan of salvation. You can't be saved any other way than the way God tells you to be saved. Huh? By grace, through faith. In who?
Oh, just whoever.
No way. Faith in who? Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't get to heaven any other way. All right, we don't hold long here. For you visitors, you'll be out of here. I know your stomach is growling. We fell back. It's actually 12:20, and I've been hungry for 20 minutes. So we're going to close shortly. But I'm going to finish this. Listen to this. Look, we're going down to verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Astonished. People that heard Jesus, there was something about the way he talked that was not like the scribes. See, the scribes and the Pharisees, they pretty well had a lock on the religious world. But it was boring, dull, hard, and legal. They'd stand up in the marketplace or in the temple and wah, 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 wah. On and on and on. People had no confidence in religion because they'd see those priests doing wicked things. And then get up and talk like they were so holy. Then Jesus came along. Oh, boy, wasn't he different. Huh? He was a carpenter. He may have had some sawdust on him. You don't believe that? Oh, I know you've seen the pictures. They're not like, he ain't like that. Huh? No, he ain't like that at all. He ain't nothing like that. That's right. He had, maybe had some, he had calluses on his hands. You know how hard carpenter work is today with all the skill and the Ryobi drills and all that. Think of how hard it was. Anybody, I remember Brother Charlie putting a staircase in one time with a brace and bit. Now think of that. It didn't look too good, if you're wondering. It wasn't too good. Huh? But Jesus was a carpenter back when he, brother, it was hard. He worked hard. He probably was strong. But when he came out after 30 years of being just kind of under the authority of his parents and just in the shadows, so to speak, then out he comes talking in a way. The Word of God. He was the Word in the flesh. And as he spoke these words, the Sermon on the Mount. How many knows? If our world would live with a Sermon on the Mount, our election next Tuesday would be so much easier. Huh? You talk about greed. I've heard that term, greed, on Wall Street. And I don't know exactly. I've seen greed on Front Street. Haven't you? You know, if we could get rid of the greed and folks would look out after one another, it'd solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it? Hey, I'll tell you, the medical, I really feel like the medical, they say we're in a crisis in the medical world, and it is the cost of medication and hospitalization and so many people sick. But, you know, really, I know all sickness is not originally, you know, because somebody is sinful. But I believe a lot of stress and anxiety and a lot of things, if people get back to trusting the Bible and God, that it would make a lot more room in the emergency room. Ain't getting a whole lot of amens there, but it's true. How about our out on the highway, drunk driving? What if everybody was a teetotaler? Never drink. How many millions of people would still have their life? You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about Jesus come with words of authority. You know what they'd do if I got weaseled in some way to the floor of the Congress and got up and told them in? They wouldn't even listen to me. They'd rather listen to Barney Frank or Ted Kennedy. They wouldn't even listen to a preacher that told them what the Sermon on the Mount said. But this is the answer. How many knows this is the answer? You know, and I appreciate our politicians that are trying to do what they think is right, if there's any. I appreciate them. But, you know, if they're not praying and they're not applying the principles of the Bible, they're going down. Do y'all believe that? They're going to sink. America is going to sink. Out of sight. When the storm comes, if we don't get back to this book right here. Well, I'm just glad you're not voting on me. Listen to this. It came to pass when Jesus ended his saying, and the people were astonished. For it says, for he taught them as one having authority. He taught them as one having authority. You know what gave Jesus the authority to teach like he did? You know why we need to go back to his word if we really want to know what's concrete and right? You know why he could teach authority? Because he was God in the flesh. You know, what was the president's name that said the buck stops here? Who was that? Was that Truman? The buck stops here. In other words, when you went through all the system, I'm the man that makes the final call. But really, the truth of the matter, where does the buck really stop? It stops right there. God has it all in control. How many believes he'll have the final say? Can you imagine a bunch of people getting upset and protesting and having signs and protesting against God and the way he does things? It ain't going to do no good. It ain't going to do no good because he has authority. And you know, and when you preach, that's why when you preach, and Lord knows this, and I can say this honestly without feeling any repercussion, but I can honestly say, When the Lord called me to preach at 19 years old, I have never, I've never felt like that I had any authority. If this right here is the authority, if I don't, if ever comes a day when I don't feel like I need to preach this right here, then it's time to quit. Are you listening to me? That's right. You say, well, how do we have so many opinions and so many ideas? Because he's human. That is not a God-inspired thing. That's a human-inspired thing. God has one God, one faith, one Lord. You hear it? One Bible right here. Amen. And so Jesus could preach with authority. You talk about authority. And I know it's true here at school. You know, we got 90-some children and a wonderful staff. But, you know, a lot of times when you deal with parents and stuff, that it comes back down to the old pastor when it all boils down. What's it? What are we going to do here? It's got to stop somewhere. It's got to be a stopping point, right? Right there. Here's what we're going to do. That's why God gave churches pastors, somebody to make the final call. And this is the way it's got to be, right? A shepherd under the great shepherd. That's right. But now he calls the shots. He has the final say. He has the authority. You know why he can do that? You know why he could walk to the mouth of a tomb and tell them to roll the stone away? Brother, no, there wasn't no committee coming saying, I'm wait a minute here. What authority do you have to tell us to move this stone away from this grave? Well, you move it away and I'll show you what kind of authority I have. Well, I don't know. We need to vote on this. Yes, move the stone. They didn't ask no questions because he spoke with authority. Huh? So they moved the stone away and then he said with a loud voice, I wish he'd call your name today. Lazarus, come out of there. You know what? He came out of there. Because he had the authority to speak and he got up. And you know, he's going to speak again too. The Bible said his voice, they'll hear his voice, and those that are asleep in the earth, those that are in the ground, he's going to call our name, Brother Noah. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to come out of there. Praise God. I appreciate that, don't you? I appreciate the authority of the Son of God. He wasn't like, listen, he is more than just a mere man. He is not, you know, and I hope you get me right. I don't hate anybody. I sure don't. But we cannot just have a diversified religious world where everybody just believes what they want to in their own mind and everybody will go to the same heaven. It's not going to work like that. There's only one way we can get to eternal life, and it's through God's only begotten Son. His name is Jesus Christ. Not just the historical Jesus, but the eternal Jesus that was there in the beginning when the Father said, "Let us make man in our own image." Can you say amen? He has the authority. That's why, amen, we can say to him, Lord, would you forgive us of our sins? He has the authority. They got all tore up when they lowered that man down through the roof, and Jesus looked at him and said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Ah, come on. Only God can forgive sin. Oh, that's right. And then he looked at them and said, well, which would be easier, for me to say thy sins be forgiven thee or take up thy bed and walk? Oh, sweet Lamb of God, I love that, don't you? And he had the authority not only to forgive sin, but to raise that man up off the bed. How many knows he still does? God has an eternal plan. And you know, and I can remember, and I'm going to close right here. But I remember Brother Zane, when I first got saved and got the Holy Ghost, you know, which is a different experience than getting saved. It's just a baptism and a fullness of the Holy Ghost and a witness of speaking in tongues. And after that, that's about 6 months I've been into this, and the Lord called me to preach. And I remember when I didn't really realize the call to preach, but I remember as I began to read my Bible, and boy, it came alive to me. And I would put some scripture to memory, just trying to memorize it. I can't hardly remember nothing now, but I started memorizing that. And I'd go to church and, you know, now looking back, they saw something in me, and so they would ask me to testify. And I remember I'd get up, you know, and I'd really feel like unworthy to get up in front of a crowd of a bunch of holy people. But I'd start to talk and get my head, and then I'd go, one of them scriptures would come to me, Buck. And I'd quote that scripture. And when I quoted it, I felt something.
Ooh.
I mean, something different. It wasn't like, you know, God really helped Grandma put up a lot of apple butter last summer. You know what I mean? I mean, that was good, too. I'm not against that. God can do that. But, brother, when I would quote that scripture, like one of the scriptures I memorized was, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I remember when I quoted that, I'm telling you, I felt an authority in my soul. It wasn't me. It was God's Word. And that's what it's going to take to win the battle in this hour. We're going to have to go back to this powerful Word of God. How did Jesus defeat the devil in wilderness? Three times. Three scriptures. Deuteronomy. He took it with authority and he won the battle. Let's stand. God bless you. Hey, we can't discard this. We cannot discard the Bible and Jesus Christ our Savior and what He tells us to do. And if you're living for God because the Word of the Lord, and I do realize that, you know, people grow in grace. Now you can't tell me they don't. Now they do. I know they do. It's just a natural process. You don't bear fruit overnight. You bear fruit in a gradual process. Now don't you do it? But sooner or later, if you live long enough, it won't take that long. Those fruit of that new heart will come out, won't it? Do it.